tells us here in verse 37 and 38 of Luke chapter 7, "Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment." The woman that's mentioned in this particular passage of Scripture is one of three women who were all named Mary, who anointed the Lord of glory during his ministry. There was Mary Magdalene, who anointed him. There was Mary, the sister of Lazarus from Bethany, who anointed his head. And there was this woman who is identified simply as a sinner. "Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." This woman brought an alabaster box of ointment. Probably was worth a year's salary. And she broke the box and poured it on his feet and anointed him while he sat at the table of Simon the Pharisee. Now, Simon got upset about this. He began to think evil thoughts, and the Lord could read his mind. And Jesus allowed this woman to wipe his feet with her hair, and he was angry about that, but Jesus rebuked him. Verse 47, he said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." He commended this woman as being cleansed. There are two great truths in this passage of Scripture. A woman in the city, which was a sinner. They're like two precious dishes sitting on a table, surrounded by hungry people who want to eat. They're like two silver bells that sound with the sweetest tones. One of them is grace, and the other one is love. And I want to bring you a message this morning, if the Lord will help me, that I have entitled, "A Woman Which Was a Sinner." First of all, let's talk about grace. Grace is like the most costly of spikenard. It's an ointment that can't be replaced with anything else. In Song of Solomon 5:5, the Bible says, "I rose up to open to my beloved in my hands, dropped with myrrh and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock." I read that book the other day. It's a love story. It tells about the love of a young woman for a royal king. But it's also a picture of the love of Christ for his people. You know, grace is glorified here in its object. We don't know a thing about this woman, except for one thing. She was a sinner. A sinner. A sinner, not just in little ways. She didn't just tell white lies and fib a little bit. But she was the blackest and filthiest and most obnoxious sort of sinner you could imagine. A harlot of the streets. God's grace has frequently chosen the lowest of the low and the vilest of the vile. I remember when God saved me, I couldn't get it out of my mind. I still haven't got it out of my mind. Why would God love me? Why would God love me? I'm just a sinner. Oh, I dress a little better than I used to, and drive a little nicer car than I used to, live in a little nicer house than I used to, but I'm still a sinner. God's grace is pitched upon the most unlikely causes. It found a dwelling place in this woman, a woman which was a sinner. Grace reigns here that this particular sinner should be chosen. Who else would choose her? This religious Pharisee thought so harshly of our Lord that he would let this ungodly, indecent woman weep upon him and then wipe his feet with the hair of her head. I'll tell you something, the more a believer looks within, the more they discover the cause of divine wrath against sinners. I hate sin as much as I've ever hated it. I hate it because my Father hates it. I hate it because my Lord died for it. But I'll tell you what I learned about sin. I hate it more than me than I do than anybody else. I'm like this woman. I'm just a sinner. Grace is also greatly magnified in the fruit that it bears. Grace brought this woman to hear the Savior's messages. It tells us there. She knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. The word had gotten out. This preacher from Nazareth is going to Simon the Pharisee's house to eat supper. I don't know about you, but I couldn't imagine walking in somebody else's house while they're having supper and just pulling up a plate and sitting down without being invited. But this woman had such a condemnation for her sin and such a love for the Lord of glory, she couldn't stay away. She slipped in the door and sat down right behind him. Back in those days, they didn't sit at tables like we do. They had low tables, and they would sit on the floor on some cushions, and they would lean on their arm, and they would eat the food off the table. And they'd always have their heads toward the table and their feet out. She got at the end of his feet, and she began to weep. And as she wept, she dried his feet with her hair. She came close. She had this beautiful hair. I don't know why I've always thought she might have auburn hair. My first girlfriend had auburn hair. I've always liked the auburn hair. I had a girl I went to school with. She had the prettiest auburn hair, and I thought, it's the prettiest hair I ever saw. I went to a reunion last year, and I was hoping she'd be there, and she was there. Her hair's white as snow. I don't know what color of hair this woman had. It didn't make any difference. But she unbound her head full of hair. And she began to take the tresses of her hair and to dry his feet where she'd wept on them. I tell you, grace overcame her temptations and moved her to kiss his feet. Now that's a great insult to people. They tell somebody, kiss your feet. This woman kissed the Lord's feet gladly. She opened this box, this alabaster box of ointment that she had, the costliest thing she probably had ever owned in her life. And she either opened it or broke the box and she began to pour it on his feet. I tell you, grace deserves our praise because it does so much for us. God's grace. What is there that does for us what grace does? Not a thing. Kindness of strangers is appreciated. The kindness of friends is even more appreciated. But the grace of God? This woman, apart from grace, would have remained defiled until her dying day. But God's touch works such a wondrous transformation in the lives of the people it touches. I thought about that yesterday for a long time. I know so many people who are full of themselves, and they do not grasp that there's coming a day when they're going to breathe their last breath and they're going to leave this world and go out into eternity. And if they go without the Lord Jesus Christ, if they go without a bathing of his grace, they're going to condemnation. Grace gave this woman humility. She is not some brazen harlot or some boisterous reprobate of the streets. She was content to have the lowest place. Just let me lay at his feet and weep on them. Let me lay at his feet and dry them with my hair. Let me lay at his feet and anoint them. Faith gave her courage to enter the house of the Pharisee, and her unworthiness was set aside in his manner of mercy. Her action was not pretense. I don't like pretensive people. If you don't like me, just don't like me. You know. I have a bulldog, and if he doesn't like you, he doesn't like you. And he'll let you know about it. If he needs to, he'll bite you. He doesn't have any pretense about him. This woman had laid aside all that pretense. She was laying there on the floor as a sinner, a great sinner. Persons who freely love Christ find worship to be a blessed privilege. If you say this, please stop. I hear folks say all the time, well, I got to get up in the morning and go to church. No, you don't. Stay home. If you don't love God, you don't love his word, you don't love his truth, you don't love the fellowship with his people, go find you a coon hound and hug it. I find it a great privilege. I get up on Sunday morning, I can't wait to get here. In fact, most of the time on Saturday, I can't wait. I wish it was Sunday already. Her alabaster box was freely given in sincere submission to her blessed Lord. They hadn't forgiven her yet, but she still loves him. Grace is seen in the attentive eyes of our Lord's acceptance. Our Lord's sense of sinfulness was very keen, but he accepted this woman's token of love. Remind me of the time Jesus was in the temple and all these rich people were coming in. They were throwing silver coins and gold coins into the offering box, and they were pitching them, and you could hear them go down and rattle and bang in the box. And there came a little old lady, and she had two mites, which was a hundredth of a cent. And she went over and put them in the box. And the Lord of glory said, that woman, she gave more than all you folks. Because you gave out of your plenty and she gave out of her necessity. Jesus embraces the love of pure hearts. And he doesn't upbraid them at all. He receives her love with no hesitation and with no objection. There is no mention that she's a sinner. There are no claims against her. Grace moves our Lord to become the defender of this penitent woman. The Pharisee talked about her. Simon thought evil thoughts of her. But the Lord of glory spoke highly. You know, it's God's truth to let them declare their love to himself. God lets us worship him. People talk about worship like they're going to the Kroger store. You cannot worship God if he does not enable you to do so. You can't. It's not in your flesh. It's not in your nature. But God changes your heart. Gives you a new spirit. Gives you a new hope. Gives you a new destiny. And you become quite excited about him. Some object to persevering grace. But persevering grace overcomes all the obstacles in our life. I don't know about you, but it seems to me like every time I get one problem solved, two more pop up. We have an old round table over to Wynette's, and we call it the wise men's table. I don't know if there's anybody wise there or not. There certainly are many strange opinions offered there and issued there. But I'll tell you, at the last day, God will justify all the grace that he has given to his saints throughout their lives. He is not afraid for his sheep to appear before the judgment throne. And you shouldn't be either. If you're a child of God, you know you're a child of God, God's changed your heart, given you a new hope, given you a new life, the judgment seat has no fear for you. Once when David was, 8 or 9 years old, we were riding down the road, and I heard this voice behind the seat say, Daddy, you better slow down. And I said, why should I slow down? He said, there's a state cop behind you. I said, I'm not speeding, David. That cop doesn't cause me to fear at all. But now if you're doing about 95 through Stringtown, it'd be a good idea if you slowed down. The law condemns us. It tells us to run and to fly, but it doesn't give us any wings or any legs. But grace gives us everything we need. Grace bestowed upon this woman, great favor. It proves that she was forgiven by the fact that she loved him so much. I remember my wife's grandmother used to say this. We'd get to talk about some boy had gone astray and done wrong, and she'd say, you all just need to remember that some mama's boy. Yes, and you're God's child. And he loves you. Christ gave her such a blessed benediction. He said, go in peace. What more can you want than that? Go in peace. Life is just so full of trouble. It's full of so much adversity. It's full of so much hardship. For the Lord of glory to say, go in peace? How blessed. If Christ lifts you from sin's miry clay, he can do much more for you. When the Lord saved me, I thought nobody will ever do for me what God's done for me. I didn't know he just opened the door. And the grace had poured out, and it still pours out. And when I can't do what I need to do, I can't do what I want to do, his grace sustains me. All the provisions of the covenant of grace belong to his sheep. They're his sheep. Then let's look quickly at this other point. There's love here. Not only is there grace, but there's love. If you read the book of Song of Solomon, it's a love story between a man and a woman, and reference is often made to the voice of the turtle doves. I don't know what a turtle dove sounds like. I've never known a turtle dove in my life. But I hear the birds outside my window when I'm in my study. And sometimes I just have to stop and listen to them. And I think, God gave them a voice. It's worth listening to. This love has a divine source. It has divine power. Why do you love? Why do you love your wife or your husband? Why do you love your children or your parents? Why do you love your friend or your neighbor? Somebody made you love. God did it. This woman, which was a sinner, loved him much because much had been forgiven her. If you really love God who redeemed you, you can be assured that you're his child. Now, most people don't love God. They just like to go through the motions. But the children of grace know their Father, they know their Savior, and they love him. They love him. The secondary cause of such love is the gift of faith. Look at verse 50. He said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Our souls must first learn to trust Christ before we can love him. All these people talk about loving Jesus. They've never learned to trust him. You can't love him if you don't trust him. You can't. Trust Christ for the pardon of your sin. Trust Christ and love will flash in your heart. Grace is a source of love, but faith is the agent that brings love to us. The nourishment of love is a sense of sin and of forgiveness. If God's given you a sense of your sinfulness, of your imperfections and your flaws, that'll make you love him. He's forgiven you all that. If we felt more deeply our guilt, we would love Jesus more. We live in a world full of people that don't know what sin is. And they're not pressed by it. And so they don't know anything about love to the one who forgave them. The forgetfulness of our ruined state restricts our love for Christ. If you don't know you're a sinner, you don't know anything about Christ. If you don't feel guilty about your sin, you don't know anything about Christ. If you're not remorseful about your sin, you don't know anything about Christ. The service of this woman to the Lord Jesus was completely voluntary. Nobody made her do what she did. Nobody paid her to do it. Nobody hired her to do it. Nobody encouraged her to do it. You know why she did it? She couldn't help herself. She couldn't help herself. I tell you, more love to Jesus ought to have that kind of freshness to it. When I met my wife, I knew that I loved her. I didn't know why. And the amazing thing was, she loved me. And I didn't know why she loved me. I sure didn't know that. And I didn't understand that until God saved me. And I learned what real love is. She did this all by herself. It was all to him and it was all for him. I want you to look at the pronouns. Look at these two verses. Look at the pronouns. Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping and beginning to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Sound like a pretty intense operation to me. She served Christ alone. No one else but her master. We don't see her washing anybody else's feet. We don't see her drying anybody else's feet. We don't see her anointing anybody else's feet. Just his. If you do not seek people's smiles, then you won't fear people's frowns. That's what's wrong with our world today. It's filled with people that just want to make everybody happy. Make everybody love them. Make everybody be kind to them. And that's not a bad goal. But you can't let that change your perspective on life and your perspective on eternity, because everybody doesn't love God and God doesn't love everybody. Her service demonstrated that her love was passionate. Her whole soul expressed itself in love. She moved according to her heart. Her heart told her, go there and wash his feet. I encourage you to throw your souls into the service of Christ. Let your heart burn in his presence. Give the most awakened and quickened love you can to the Lord of glory. He's worthy. This woman's love is a lesson in the opportunity that she utilized. If you've been washed from sin, bring your love to Christ. Now, I'll tell you, I'm all in favor of people liking their preacher. But it scares me when I hear people say, well, I know that I'm all right because preacher so-and-so told me I was. Preachers are as blind as a bat about who and what people are. You'd better know from God how you stand. The grace of God is the warmth of circulation in the church. I think we have a friendly church. I think we have a warm church. But you know what it is? It's grace. Grace has been with many of us through the battles we've fought. I mean, there's a whole lot of folks in here. We've lost our husbands. We've lost our wives. We've lost children. We've lost family. We've lost friends. How do we do it? Grace. Grace. The Lord Jesus will defend and will accept and will reward all of his children. If you love the Lord Jesus, don't hide your blessings. Show your faith. Use your faith. Express your love to him. It'll benefit you and others. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. An old hymn writer once wrote these words: O gift of gifts, O grace of faith, my God, how can it be that you who has discerning love should give that gift to me? How many hearts you might have had more innocent than mine, how many souls more worthy far of that pure touch of thine. Ah, grace, into the unlikeliest heart it is your boast come, the glory of your light to find in darkest spots a home. I tell you, God embraces his people with the spikenard of his precious grace. And the love of Christ echoes through the hearts of every redeemed soul. I pray that God will fill us. Fill us with his presence and make us to sing his praises. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that God will give you life and give you love and say to you, as he said to this woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace.